Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our ascended Lord Jesus. Amen. The basis of our meditation this day, one verse from Acts chapter 1, verse 3, where Luke tells us, after his suffering, Jesus also showed the apostles through his many miraculous proofs that he was alive, that is alive, resurrected in the flesh. And he was seen by them for 40 days and spoke with them about the kingdom of God. As I started to prepare this sermon, I was reminded of an old song that old duffers like you and me probably remember. The song that said, "Love and marriage, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. You can't have one without the other." And it reminded me of the five great festivals of the Christian church year: Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. Many will say Christmas is the most important of those. And yes, if he would not have come, he could not have done his ministry and redeemed us. But if he had come and not had Good Friday, what good would Christmas be? And so some say Good Friday, that's the most important one of all, because he said it is finished and our sins were wiped away. And yet, if he had not risen on Easter Sunday, Good Friday would have been no good, because he would have still been dead and Satan would know that he had won the victory. And yet, what good is resurrection if Jesus doesn't ascend 40 days later in order to prepare a place for you and me that where he is, we may also be? But then again, what good is ascension if you don't have Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit so that you can believe all those truths of Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, and Ascension? And so it all fits together. You can't have one without the other. They all fit together to the glory of God and to our benefit. The text. What a great text. First of all, I'm going to concentrate on the number 40. Why would Jesus have to stay around on this terrible earth for 40 days after he rose from the dead when the work was done? Well, there was a reason, but you have to understand the number 40. The number 4 in the Bible is the number of this world, north, east, south, west. Jesus had to stay around on this earth. But for how long? Well, the number 10 comes in. The number 10 is the number of completeness. The Ten Commandments, the complete will of God. The 10 plagues, the complete destruction of God. And so you take 4 times 10, that represents the complete period of time that Jesus had to hang around here on earth before he would be permitted to ascend to the position of power at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But why? Because he had to do it better than the prophets, as the book of Hebrews says. And so we have to dodge back and pick up Moses. You remember Moses? How many times did he climb Mount Horeb on the Mount Sinai Peninsula? 7 different times. During 2 of those times, he was up on the mountain 40 days. When he came down from his 6th trip, he said to God, "I want to see your face." God said, "If you see my face, you will surely die, because no sinner can look upon me in my full glory. But when you come back up, I will let you see part of me." And so Moses went up, and at the end of 40 days, up there in the cave that was on Mount Horeb, God said to Moses, "Put your head in the rock, and I will pass by with my hind parts and let you see just a little of my glory." And as God passed by and pronounced his name, Yahweh, the Lord, the glory of God in just a little form bounced off the rock, hit Moses in the face, and yet that little bit of glory was so great that when Moses came down off the mountain, the people could not stand to look at him. He had to put a veil over his face until that glory faded. And then there's that other great prophet, Elijah. And remember, it was Moses and Elijah who appeared to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the order of all the Old Testament prophets. And Elijah, after he'd called fire down from heaven and killed the prophets of Jezebel, ran for his life out of fear. And we're going to talk about fear tonight. Scared he was. He ran to Beersheba. Out of breath and tired, he fell asleep. An angel came and woke him twice, fed him twice. And then the Bible says that on the strength of that food, he traveled 40 days to the cave, the same cave where Moses had received the 10 commandments. Elijah went in at the end of 40. And all of a sudden there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. There was a fire, but God was not in the fire. There was a tornado, but God was not in the tornado. And then there was a still, small voice, a quiet whisper. It was God talking to Elijah. What's that all about? Well, if you put it together, Moses, when he saw just a little bit of God's glory, had the greatest visual of God of anyone in the Old Testament. And Elijah, he had the greatest audio of God that anyone had ever had on earth. And then comes our Lord Jesus, going also up on a mountain, as Moses and Elijah had gone up on the mountain. Jesus went up onto the Mount of Olives, and there he ascended. And you can read the story of the other side of the cloud in Daniel chapter 7, where we get the ending of the Lord's Prayer. For when he appeared before the Ancient of Days, after his ascension, there was given to him a kingdom and power and glory. The end of our Lord's Prayer, if you will remember. And there Jesus had the greatest visual and audio that anyone had ever had. And there he was, ascended in bodily form, in his state of exaltation. And as the Athanasian Creed says, it was there that the manhood was taken into the Godhood, and there was a great beatific vision. Now that's a nice story, and it explains why Jesus had to hang around 40 days in order to do it better than Moses and Elijah. And what is Jesus doing up there all this time? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. But as our high priest, he is continuously praying for us weak individuals that we do not lose our faith. He is praying for us to become faith-filled, not fear-filled. And we know about being fulfilled with fear during this pandemic that is before us. But how do I know that Jesus wants us to be faith-filled and not fear-filled? Hear the word of the Lord from the pen of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I don't think people have been thinking so straight with their mind during these past days, have they? You see, God has given us the spirit of faith and power, but it's Satan who gives us the spirit of fear. Oh, all you have to do if you don't have your heads in the sand and if you haven't been asleep is to know the power of the United Nations and of WHO, the World Health Organization. And anybody who doesn't know what the United Nations is, it's just a replica, a duplicate of the Tower of Babel and one world government coming to a state near you, because Satan is very, very powerful, and he knows that he has little time that is left. You remember what God said at the Tower of Babel? Why he had to disperse the people all over the earth so they couldn't have one government under Nimrod? He said, this is only the beginning of what they will do. And think how far man has come now with technology and the glorification of sin all over the earth. Who would have thought after Cain killed Abel that you would have so many murders all over the earth? Think of all the people that the communist Chairman Mao killed. He made Hitler look like a choir girl. The millions upon millions that he slaughtered, all in the name of having one world government that would make the world a utopia here on earth. But there's a second passage. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage to make you again fear, but you have received the spirit of God's adopted children. Bondage. Yes, the nation has been held in bondage. Stay in your homes. Don't go out. Don't be the social creatures that God made you. Stay away from others. And so in paraphrastic way, we can translate this passage, for you did not receive the spirit of self-distancing to make you again fear, but you have received the spirit of God's adopted sons. And people are asleep. They don't even know that the four horsemen of the apocalypse of Revelation 6 are riding again. They have been riding ever since the day of Jesus' ascension and will ride until judgment day. Yes, they will. And you remember those four horsemen of the book of Revelation in Revelation 6? The fourth horse was pale, and the rider upon his back was called plague or pestilence, or to update it today, pandemic. And death followed close behind him, says John as he writes the book of Revelation. But we forget that he has ridden many times before. Do you remember the Hong Kong flu? Do you remember everything being shut down? No. Do you know how many people died during that plague? 130,000 people in America. We're only up to 90 or 95,000 at the moment. He rides. Satan drives him forward, as I said, because he knows that his time is short. And so, speaking about fear and faith, we come to the last verse of Romans chapter 14. Go home and look it up, because it says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So if you have the wrong kind of fear, and there's a good kind of a fear, to take caution, to be sure, but whatever is the wrong kind of fear, whatever is not of faith is sin. And therefore, we need to really take a look at ourselves. Because you see, people, it is way above our pay grade to criticize those who have not come to church during the pandemic, and equally wrong to criticize those who have come during this plague. Oh, whatever is not of faith is sin. But what is the right kind of faith? You know, when I was a kid and a young pastor, they always said, the religion of America is love your neighbor and be kind to animals, and that'll get you into heaven. The problem is, it's flip-flop by our day. Now it's love your animals and be kind to your family. Is that not correct? Oh, I don't want to die. Oh, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to die because my grandchildren need me. And what will happen if my mother, if I die and my mother is here? And we forget the passage where Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. If you die, Jesus will be there to take care of your loved ones. You know, people, you are not going to die one moment before God decides it. And you are not going to live one second longer than what you are supposed to live, whether it's a pandemic or whatever the situation is. God means business when he talks faith. When he sent his son to the cross and had him shed his blood to wash away sin, and calls upon us to believe it. That's called faith. And he doesn't want us messing around in the area of fear. Now, to be fearful is human. That's why an angel, whenever an angel appeared to someone, in the Old Testament or New, they always started off with the words, fear not. Don't be afraid. God is here to help. Oh, let's talk about animals for a while, okay? Oh, they are so important, and they are important. And relatives, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so important. God has given them to us as a gift. But are they more important than God? You know, the great philosopher and Christian theologian Pascal said, faith is God felt by the heart. Let me repeat that. Faith is God felt by the heart. What kind of faith do you have? Luther says, whatever is most important in your heart, that is your God. And we have elevated animals often so high that they have become our God. Oh, we can't stay for an extra hour of Bible class because we got to get home and attend to our pets. Or our family wants us back home quickly for the celebration, the picnic, or whatever. We cannot stay that extra time. Or we have too much pain to stay, and we haven't thought of the pain that Jesus went through on the cross. Because you see, what is the God of our heart? It is ourself. We are on our own throne rather than letting God on his throne. I have a question for you. Think of what is most precious to you of living things. Whether it's a son or daughter, mother or father, grandchild, animal. What if God came to you like he came to Abraham and said, go and kill that thing that is most important to you? Could you do it? Would you hear Jesus say to you, as he said to Abraham, now I know you love me more than what you love others? Let's recall Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all of your being. Who do we love the most? We need to prepare our hearts for communion to say, Lord, I repent. I am sorry that I have not done it the way you wanted me to do. I got to tell you one of my joys of the past week. I went to a Roman Catholic funeral. The priest from Bishop Newman out on Pearl Road, was I shocked. We went in and we got those little cards that you get at the funeral home. No mention about Mary. Throughout the whole service, not one mention of Mary. Nothing about burning candles, doing good works, going to purgatory. There was absolutely nothing about it. All the priest emphasized was Jesus. He is your hope. And he understands that you have made many bad decisions in life. And those decisions have had consequences. But Jesus is willing to forgive. It's all about Jesus if you want to get to heaven. And if you desire to go to hell, it's all about the secret weapon of Satan called fear. And you know what? We haven't talked much about hell and heaven lately, have we? You know, Jesus talks more about hell in the New Testament than what he talks about heaven. It's about time we review what hell is all about so that you'll know you do not want to go there. Hell is total silence. It is solitary confinement, which drives people crazy. And you never see another person again in hell. Oh, you think they're all watching you and how ugly you look in the body that is decayed and is burning in fire. And you will get to see God, but not in his state of comfort, but with his angry face forever and ever. And if we look at Luke 16, possibly in hell, those who are there forever and ever get to look into heaven and see all the comfort of the believers and see them dancing before the throne of Jesus and knowing that there is no hope that they will ever get to join in. And then there's that glorious heaven, that place where you and I are going to go as the forgiven sinners of God. The beatific vision. Do you know what the Bible says, basically? It says that on the last day, God puts your soul and spirit back together with your body. As fast as you can blink, Paul says, it will happen. His report in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the moment you look upon Christ and hear him say, come, beloved of my Father, you have the beatific vision, and better than Moses and better than Elijah, you will have a great visual of God and you will have a great audio of God. It's worth getting away from fear and to have your faith built. You've heard it from this pulpit tonight that Jesus washed away all of your sins. That's an absolute. In a little bit, you will come to the table of your Lord to receive his body and his blood. And on your way, repent. Because you think there has been much repentance, fellow redeemed, in this world going through the pandemic? Or will we be returning to life as usual? Didn't Jesus say in the days when he comes, there would be a great falling away and people would be going on with business as usual, marrying and giving in marriage? That's what he said, and we see it going on. Look, as things are being opened up. Oh, there are some strange things out there. They opened up a strip club in Wyoming, and they wiped down the poles where the pole dancers go so the germs wouldn't spread. And the girls took off their clothes, but they had masks on. Wow. Now there's a visual for you. A naked woman with a mask on. How dare he say that from a pulpit? Tell it like it is. And I love the priest who had to put holy water on his people. So he took a squirt gun and was squirting them during the service. Read about it on the internet. Crazy, crazy things going on in this world where we think we are so smart and God is so dumb, or God does not exist. But you and I are ready for the beatific vision. And we get part of it when we come to the supper and we are united with Jesus in his body and blood, and with those of our loved ones who have gone on before. We are united as one holy Christian church. That's where our faith is based. But then, what a struggle during our 40 days here on earth. For you see, we have a complete period of time also, like Jesus, before we are let into heaven. And during that time, are we just giving mouth service to God, or are we really in faith, believing? Think of what people want. Oh, Psalm 23 is so beautiful. Oh, I want that at my funeral. And yet they don't see the import of Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Believe it. Don't fear. Have faith. Come to the altar and receive a strengthening of that faith in these troublesome times. Come. For you see, we turn our title around, don't we? Where we said you can't have one without the other. Well, concerning faith and fear, need to have one without the other. In Jesus, the ascended Lord's name, amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.